scripture reading today comes to us from Matthew chapter 16. How many people brought their Bibles? Super. Remember, we're trying to grow in our spiritual faith this year, so this is one way that we can do that. Just the discipline of remember to pick up your Bible as you leave the house. Maybe your neighbor will see you and wonder, that's different. What's going on there? I better go see. Matthew 16, begin at verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "All right, but who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replies, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned the disciples not to tell anyone about that he was the Christ. As we grow to be more intentional about our spiritual growth, I challenged the council at the last meeting that part of being a leader is being out front. And part of being out front in the church is attending worship on other times than Tuesday, or under other times than Sunday. And of course, that would mean Tuesday. And I guess I didn't get a vote or ask for those who would commit to that, but I assumed that there wasn't any discussion that we were all in favor of that. And to date, we've only had two of those 14 council members join, so I invite you, the rest of the congregation, to come join us the rest of this month on Tuesday night. It will be more full as the council members hold up their end of the covenant in these last 2 weeks. The gospel reading today tells the familiar story of Jesus asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Now, that's a general question, inviting interpretation on the part of the disciples. But then he asks them, "What I really want to know is, who do you say that I am?" And of course, we all love Peter because he's just right out there. He saves us from our own embarrassment, perhaps, sometimes. He just blurts out, probably and hopefully without even thinking. He says, "You're the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, is that who you say Jesus is? The Messiah? The Christ, the Son of the living God, your Lord and your Savior? If that is who you say Jesus is, and you're committed to that, and you really believe it, then you are ready to move on to Romans 12, 1 through 8. Turn with me there to Romans 12. You know, every time I fuss at this at home, Donna says, people like to listen to the word. Okay. Romans 12, 1 through 8. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, as holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If his gift is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him be an encourager. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is the leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. If you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, do you have the spiritual strength and faith to commit to Him in His world, serving Him? Paul appeals to us to do three things in this passage. First, to present our bodies. Don't conform to this world. And then to renew our minds so that we can know and be better able to discern God's will, which will then tell us to give Him our will in order that the things that we have to do will be His will. Do you think it was easier for the Old Testament times, those people, to keep God at the center of their lives? I mean, back then they had little worldly distractions. All they had to worry about was getting a little food. It was easy to keep God in the center of their life, I would imagine. As opposed to nowadays, our world is so big and at the same time so small that there's too much for us to do, too many temptations, too many distractions that keep us from remembering God in our daily lives, much less presenting our bodies to Him as a living sacrifice. And oh, by the way, what is that anyway? A living sacrifice. We'll come back to that. You know, nowadays, part of our distraction is that we can be and go anywhere in the world in no time at all. In less time than it took Jesus to decide to go to Bethany to take care of his friend Lazarus, we can travel all around the world. We can reach out and learn and see and hear actual sounds and views of anywhere in the world through the wonder of the high-speed internet. We are bombarded with the messages of the secular world that say we can have and we can do and we can be anything we want to be with this product or that product. What people forget is that this same technology that can put us in touch with anything and any place in the world is also able to put us in touch with the sites that will give us the opportunity not only to learn about God, but also opportunities to learn about the places where we can be of service in God's creation. A place that we can serve even the least of these, our brothers and sisters. Present your bodies in worship, so that the word of God is born anew with each proclamation. Do not be conformed to this world. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Renew your minds so that you may be transformed and able to discern what the will of God is. In other words, we need to be involved with continuing education. Paul tells us to renew our minds, and the way that we do that is through continuing education. Professionals in every field are required to attend continuing education. My daughter is a certified public accountant. She's required 40 hours every year of continuing education. Doctors must take courses to stay abreast of their changing field, and we would hope that they do so and learn well. Dentists attend continuing education classes. The mechanic that works on our cars must attend continuing education classes to keep up with the high tech of today's internal combustion engine. We expect the professionals that we deal with to be learning all the time so that they can better serve us. Well, do Christians need continuing education? The United Methodist Church requires its pastors to get continuing education hours every year. But what about you, the congregation? Do you think that you need some kind of opportunity to get a new, fresh, life-saving, abundant living and eternal life-saving information for your spiritual health? During my time of continuing education this summer with colleagues in the pastoral ministry, we all felt that we sometimes want to just scream out and holler, "People, if you would just come to worship on Sunday school and Bible study and spend more time than 2 minutes a day in prayer and commit to a time of personal and private devotion, if you would just renew your minds in the things of God, you'd be so much more content, more at peace, more fulfilled." Well, I spend personal devotion and renewal time at home and here at the office, but when I used to go to Duke during the month of July, it was different. I got away from the busyness of the church, the needs of my family, the distractions of the things around me that I enjoy, and I found that I could better hear the Holy Spirit talking with me and leading me in many ways. I was better able to discern God's will for my life and better able to understand how it was he wanted me to lead the people to whom I have been appointed. And during this time away like that, the tensions and frustrations of leading are diminished, and the joy and thanksgiving of being able to serve God is built up. So I would encourage each of you to find some time to make a special time to get away and renew your minds in the things of God and not of this world. What do you believe? And are you living it? Are you a Christ-like people trying to live like Christ? And do you believe that you can be transformed? Do you believe that you can grow in faith? Let us pray. Gracious God, give us strength to be committed to you. Give us wisdom to know you better. And in doing this, give us energy to serve you in whatever space we occupy at the moment. Help us to be in the present where you are with us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.